Everybody will find their seat. We got some more people coming in, I see. And so we'll go ahead and get started and give them a chance to get in here. Appreciate y'all being here this evening. Got several folks out with illness and other things. Miss Judy's in Monroe with her niece, helping her mom with her niece with that situation. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. Anyway, let's all get a hymn book and stand together as Brother Tim comes to lead us in a song. All right, one of my favorites, Fanny Crosby wrote number 72, My Savior First of All. 72, let's all stand. And I give you a chance to find it. 72, My Savior First of All. All right, together now. When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view and the luster of His kindly beaming eye, how my whole heart will praise Him for His mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I will stand. I shall know the print of the nails in His hand. Through the gates to the city in a robe of spotless white, He will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages I shall mingle with delight, while I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know quickly, 273. We'll sing a chorus, I'm So Happy. Here's the reason why. You may not need the words. All right, well, I'll tell you what. Do that again, Steve. I still see people turning. Give us a minute. All right, here we go.
I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burden all away. Jesus took the load and gave me peace within. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burden all away.
All right, I want to sing that chorus again. Let's pick it up just a little bit. If you're going to be happy, you don't want to sound like you're at a funeral. Amen? So I will pick that up. Are you glad your sins are gone? Hey, that's what I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. You know, the Bible said we're to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh. And so, hey, if they say, why are you so happy? Say, well, let me tell you why. Jesus took my burdens all away. How about that? Let's sing it again, Brother Tim. Pick it up just a little bit, all right? Here we go.
I'm so happy. Here's the reason why. Jesus took my burden all away. Jesus took my burden all away.
in prayer and ask His blessing on the service. And Brother Ryan, how about you pray for us, would you? Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Again, welcome to the service. Good to see you here tonight. Good to see Ms. Lisa and Amy come in from Florida back here for her dad's funeral. Went down for the funeral, and we're going to, Lord willing, Sunday morning. Wasn't sure how that was going to work, so instead of sending a flower down there, we're going to have a flower here on the table Sunday morning in memory of your dad, if that's okay. And then you can take it home with you afterwards, but we want to do that for you. We're glad to have you back. Of course, you lost her dad down in Florida. Some folks to be praying for. Let's continue to pray for Kenny's mom, Ms. Blevins, and how she do. She's got the shingles now, understand? Okay. So bless her heart. I know, by grace, you talk about stacking stuff on top of something. You pray for Ms. Blevins. Jim Clower, continue to pray for him. Of course, our niece, Judy's not here. She went to, Michelle had her procedure today, and so she went up there to stay with her mother and with Michelle, help her get her the doctor and so on and so forth. Now, the procedure went fine. They won't have any results probably until Friday. But the procedure itself went well. If you don't know, she was born with Crouzon's disease. Back her dad, Judy's brother, also had it, but they thought back in the 60s when Tim was born with it, that they thought it was meningitis. So they treated him for that, and of course, that's not what it was. But of course, when Michelle was born with the same problem, but there was a doctor that now, you know, they're so far advanced with medicine. When Michelle came along, there was actually a specialist in that field in Matthews, North Carolina. And so she's been seeing him now for all of her life. They said when she was born, and under normal circumstances, probably wouldn't live past 13. She'll be 30. Is it next month, Beth? In a couple of weeks, in March here. She'll be 30 years old. And so the Lord's been good there. And, of course, she lives with Judy's mom. And so Judy felt like maybe go up there and help her mom and Michelle. They may be watching live stream. I don't know. I hope they are. I hope Judy will watch me on live stream unless they went to their church or her church, which I understand too, be fine. But anyway, thank you for praying for Michelle, and we'll let you know more about the results when we find out. Continue to pray for Brother Gene Mullis and his wife, the pastor up there in the car accident. Miss Cook, Viola Cook, that's Wes Wright's sister, is kidney failure. Went to see her at Baptist Hospital, and she's doing pretty intensive dialysis right now. I couldn't talk. She had just come in from a procedure, so she wasn't real lucid. I didn't get to talk to her much. I had prayer with her. But you remember, she's at Baptist Hospital. My sister-in-law, BJ's mother, Gladys Hunter, about the same, in Monroe Hospital. Continue praying for her. Miss Ramona's back, still bothering to pray for her. Deanna Copeland is getting better, but she's sick. So I talked to her yesterday, and so she'll be here Sunday. Then Inez is at home sick. She's got something going on, too. So it just kind of goes from pillar to post. Miss Bobby's daughter-in-law, Donna, is in the Lexington Hospital. She had a heart attack. She works for Lexington Cardiology, so that worked out well. Now, she didn't have the heart attack at her job, but I guess the doctor she works for is her heart doctor, so that always helps to, you know, have a inside information, you know. But they found a blockage. They put a stent in. Is that right, Miss Bobby? And everything's going well. And so she's in Lexington Hospital. Try to go by and see her tomorrow as well. She's the one that donated the real nice, her office, that nice wheelchair that we have. Her office right there in the summit. When you turn in the summit off of Clemson Road, it's right there before that school right there. So anyway, you pray for Donna Alexander, if you would, at the Lexington Hospital, okay? All right. Also, the new call to doors, you know, is today the last day of the month? Tomorrow or Friday? See, I can tell it's a Baptist church. We can't even agree on what the end of the month is. Everybody pull out your phone right quick. I got a date on my watch, but it's so little I can't see it. So Friday is the feast. All right, so Friday's the feast. So the new call to glories are back there whenever the first day of the month is. All right, you get one and figure it out for yourself. All right. But anyway, they're back there on the table for the month of March, and so be sure and get one of those before you leave if you use those. And again, kids, please don't get those unless you use them. Don't pick them up. Let's leave them for those that do use them. And we had a few left over. I hope you'll get these. These are great little devotion books. You know, if you just want to do a little five-minute devotion in the morning before you go to work or school, something like that, these are real, and they're King James. They're solid. We wouldn't be giving them out if we didn't think they were right. If they ever get off track, we'll stop giving
them out. We'll do something else. But anyway, these are really good. So be sure and get one before you go home. Is this somebody? This Bible was found on a seat back there. Is it yours? Because it says given by Ruby Peak, and there, but there was no name in it. To Haley. All right.
All right. Here, Ryan, take that back there, Haley. It was sitting back there when I saw Ms. Ruby. I don't know how that got here.
He's going to put it in the cabinet back there with her picture. But all right, good. So we found who gets that. All right. Any other prayer requests real quickly anybody want to mention? Prayer request? Yes, sir. Is that right? On Crane. Okay. Oh, is that right? Oh, okay. So remember this man, Sean Crane. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else have their hand up, I thought? Maybe? No? All right. Pray for the Martins. Good to see them here. They're waiting on their house to get finished sometime around the 1st of April or so. Is that the sort of the plan? 4th of April? Okay. Around the 1st. I, you know. What day's the 4th on, you know?
We'll find out for you, would you? No. I guarantee you she knows. Yeah. She knows the address of the Lord to go make the everything. I got you. I know how that. I remember how that was. I sure do.
All right. So, but surely pray for them as they're waiting for their house to be finished. But we're sure glad to have them here with us here in Columbia. All right. Nobody else got anything? All right, Brian, you got some announcements?
Ladies, don't forget tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Friday. See tomorrow. Friday, which is March 1st, is the ladies' fellowship here at the church. 7 o'clock. For some food and fellowship here, all ladies invited, and they don't have a Jubilee meeting tomorrow, right? No, okay, I knew that. I was just testing y'all. That's right. Y'all passed. Okay, no Jubilee meeting tomorrow, but you will have the fellowship on Friday for all ladies. You're all invited, 7 o'clock. And Saturday, the men will get up at 10 o'clock in the morning and come here for Sewing Saturday, go out door knocking, spreading the gospel in our community. And then fast forward a week or so, the youth choir will be practicing on the 9th. That's the following Saturday from 12 to 2. I know the young adult Sunday school class has their thing the Saturday the 9th. The ladies' Jubilee will have their meeting on Thursday the 7th. And service at Waterford will be Thursday at 7. So we'll remind you about all that Sunday. But this week, remember Friday for the ladies and Saturday for the door knocking. Go ahead. 10 to 12. All right. I'll try to remember that. I'll be here on time, but I'll announce it. I'll make sure I announce that Sunday, 10 to 12. Y'all keep that in mind. Get involved in some of these things. The Lord's coming, and He wants to find us busy. All right.
If you have a question about what day it is, Gail got a new phone, a smartphone. When she got into church tonight, she learned how to turn it on. So we're doing good. All right, number 461. 461. Let's stand. We're going to sing our anchor song. All right, together we'll sing the first and last and give you a chance to find it. 461. Together.
Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? When the strong tides lift and the cables break, will your anchor drift or surely we have an anchor that keeps us whole, steadfast and sure while the billows roll, passing through the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. When our eyes behold through the gathering night, the city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore, with the storms all past forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps us whole, steadfast and sure on the billows roll, fast unto the rock which stands.
Let's enjoy a little time of fellowship. Thank you. right. Thank you so much. If you'll find your seat, we'll have the ushers to come on ahead. We'll take care of the evening offering, and then we'll have our special. Let's all find our place. Come on, ushers. Let's take care of the offering this evening. All right. All right. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on the offering. Father, we love you tonight, and what a joy it is that we're able to be back in the house of God on Wednesday night. And we're thankful, Lord, for everyone that's made their way. Appreciate the fact that Ms. Lisa and Amy had a safe trip back from Florida. Continue to bless them with the loss of her daddy. Lord, we pray for this Mr. Crane, who's in the Richland Hospital. Bad car accident. Of course, Brother Mullis and his wife, same thing, up in North Carolina. God, thank you that Michelle's test or procedure went well. Now we pray that whatever they do discover, they can repair easily. We thank you for the great miracle of her living as long as she has with this disease and how you blessed, and we appreciate that. Lord, many others. We've got sickness. We've got aches and pain. We've got things, just things that happen in our bodies because of sin, not because of individual sin, but just the sin nature. Lord, I'm thankful that one of these days, the Bible said, we get to heaven, all those things will pass away. Don't ever have to worry about those things again. But God, until then, help us to trust you. Paul said, you told Paul, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to always exemplify the strength of God in our lives, no matter what. Now we ask you to bless the offering, the gift, and the giver. Be with those who are able to give, and those who are not. Lord, we'll thank you for all you do now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Comes back for the message, we have Steve and Brian singing for us.
I can't sing as high as I used to, and he can't sing as fast as we used to. So we're going to sing a high and fast one. Okay? Wow. All right, we'll be all right. It's kind of out of tune, but so are we. But we'll be all right. Hold on, let me do this.
I'm a glad pilgrim on my way, going to glory land. Jesus, my only hope and stay, holding me by the hand. It is such joy to understand things that I never knew. Keeping my promise to the Lord, I'm going through. I'm saved. What a wonderful feeling in my soul. He's mine. He's protecting me from the heat and cold. I'll do whatsoever he bids me, I will do. I know my Redeemer will lead me safely through. Walking with Jesus all the way, singing a happy song. Matters not if it's night or day, nothing can lead me wrong. Feeling his presence ever near, why should I weep or sigh? Knowing I have a home in glory by and by. I'm his, what a wonderful feeling in my soul. He's mine, he's protecting me from the heat and cold. I'll do whatsoever he bids me, I will do. I know my Redeemer will lead me safely through. Fully believing, trusting God, giving him all the praise. Leading me from the path I trod, ever my voice I'll raise. He will be with me to the end, comforting with his power. And he will be my closest friend in death's dark hour. I'm his, what a wonderful feeling in my soul. He's mine, he's protecting me from the heat and cold. I'll do whatsoever he bids me, I will do. I know my Redeemer will lead me safely through.
Get your Bibles ready. Listen now as the pastor comes.
Well, we all know with age, stuff slows down, falls down, breaks down. Your voice gets lower. but your pant cuffs get higher. Amen. There you go. Hawking, you won't ever have to worry about that, brother. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1 tonight. I appreciate that. I love those old songs. I so remember those songs from back in my younger days. And growing up, even though I was in Michigan, we had a church that was just a handful of folk from the South because of the automobile industry. We had the guitars and the mandolins and the banjos and you know, those good country songs like that. We all of our choir music was out of the old Redback hymnal, the old church hymnal. And so I grew up on that music, and I appreciate it so very much. Psalm chapter 1, page 599, if you have a Scofield Bible, familiar verses of Scripture. There are six verses in the Psalm. I'm going to read all six verses this evening. I want to preach a little while on the product of God's blessing. The product of God's blessing. Notice it says, and stand with me, please, if you would, if you're able, for the reading of the Word of God, verse 1 of Psalm chapter 1, or Psalm 1. Blessed, capital letters, or blessed. Say it however you want to. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. You ought to underline that. The ungodly are not so. In other words, all that we just read do not apply. I want you to understand that that does not just mean a heathen who doesn't know God, but that can be a believer who's not right with God. Some people forget the Bible declares that if we're not right with God, the Bible said we're at enmity with God. Word enmity is the word enemy. And so, you know, a lot of times we have to be careful that we don't become spies for the enemy inside the camp. Amen. Well, the Bible said the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Father, bless your word to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As I said, I want to preach a little while on the product of God's blessing. One of the most more familiar Psalms in all of the Psalms is Psalm 1, because it starts with the word blessed. And everybody would like to start off being blessed. In the morning, that's why I recommend that in the mornings you read your Bible first thing and pray. Might as well start off on the right foot. Start off blessed. Because in Revelation, the Bible said, blessed is the man that readeth and doeth the words of this prophecy. Not just the revelation itself, but the Word of God. And so you can start off by being blessed. You don't want to start off unblessed. You don't want to start off on the wrong. You don't want to get up on the wrong side of the cave. Amen. You don't want to get up fussing and fighting. You know, that probably happens soon enough. But you sure want to get a little bit of good, quiet, blessed time with the Lord before all that happens. You go to your job, and then you have to deal with that ungodly crowd. And, you know, so you want to make sure you get something blessed to the Lord before you leave. Now, notice, if you would, by way, real quickly of introduction, notice in verse number 1, we find the three thoughts here that have been preached on. I've preached on them, no doubt, if Brother Steve has, and if you've taught Sunday school, you've taught this. But notice it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, that has to do with ungodly principles. Be careful where you get your doctrine from. You've heard me say that. Be careful where you get your counsel from. Be very careful. Jeroboam, the Bible says about his testimony in the Word of God, he caused Israel to sin. Every time you read about, and the reason is because he did not listen to good, godly counsel. Rehoboam, the same way. Israel was never blessed under his rule. He listened to the young guys instead of the old guys. I'm telling you, folks, old people, and I don't say that, I say that with respect, older people have a lot of good counsel. But the Bible says, be careful where you get your principles, your convictions, and your standards from. Because the ungodly, dressed in church clothes and carrying a black back book, you may think that what they're telling you is for real. I'm telling you, if it goes against the Word of God in any part of their life, or their counsel goes against the Word of God, then you can dismiss all of it. Man, that's right. And so that speaks of ungodly principles. Then he says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. That speaks to ungodly practices. If you go, listen, we have to be in the world every day. You have to be in it, but you don't have to be of it. That's a big difference because, listen, I don't care where you go these days, sin is there. Something there that can tempt you and cause you to stumble. Well, you can't just go in the house and stay and live. That they'd call you a hermit. You'd be like Howard Hughes was in his last days. Of course, he's a billionaire. I guess he could afford to stay in the house by himself. But the point is that you be careful. Not only where you get your counsel, but also be careful who you run around with. Careful who you identify with and who you associate with. Now, this is all simple stuff, I know. But it's we still need to be reminded of it, don't we? Then you'll notice, he said, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And so that speaks to ungodly partnerships. And again, be careful who you hang with, because that crowd that scorns board, you get around them long enough, you'll find yourself wavering. You surely will. And so I think the Bible is clear in that very first verse. Blessed is the man, notice, that does not do these things. So the hope that somebody said, well, you know, I've never been convicted of that. Well, if the Bible said, blessed is the man that does not, I don't think there's much to pray about, is there? If the Bible says don't, you have to pray and say, now, Lord, do you mean me? If he said don't, he said don't to whoever belongs to him. If he says do, well, Lord, you know, I'm not sure if you really want me to do that. If he tells you in the Word of God to do it, you just do it. Get about Nike and all that other stuff. You just do what God says. Amen. Let's get to the message because I want to get you out of good hours. By the way, be careful. I'm trying to find out who owns that big spool of wire out here. We had a couple people almost get run over out here the other night. And I pulled this poor. I walked out here. And some feller working in the hole, whatever you call that, the manhole. And I thought he was connected with that outfit. So I pulled him over. I told him, and he said, well, I'll move it right now. Well, he thought I meant the little sign that says men at work. And I said, no, I'm talking. I said, that big spool, he said, oh, that's not ours. That belongs to, he mentioned two or three people. So I'm going to try to find out. I'm going to try to get that thing moved because that's a danger. Maybe the police help me with that? Okay, I'm serious. At least find out who it belongs to because I'm telling you, it's a traffic hazard. Somebody's going to get hurt out here. So be careful when you leave. That's the commercial. Now let's now back to your regularly scheduled programming. All right. Notice, I want, as I said, I'm preaching on the product of God's blessing. What is produced in your life when God blesses you? Notice, if you would, there in verse number 1 again, there is the pleasure of the blessed man. Pleasure of the blessed man. Blessed is the man that walketh not. So that immediately tells us there is a consequence for walking in the counsel of the ungodly, or standing in the way of a sinner, or sitting in the... There's a consequence. Well, the Bible said, blessed is the man that does not. So that's the product. That's the blessing. So when you sin, there's a consequence. When you do right, it's a blessing. It produces a blessing in your life. Notice, number one, it avoids... The pleasure of the blessed man is when he avoids the ungodly walk. He avoids it, stays away from it. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 tells us we're to walk in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, you'll have a hard time walking with the ungodly because they do not mix. And you'll notice that also the pleasure of the blessed man avoids ungodly ways. Proverbs 16:7 tells us that. That we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. And all of our ways acknowledge Him. And what's the product? He shall direct our paths. All right? So that tells us to avoid ungodly ways. And then, of course, the pleasure of the blessed man is when he avoids ungodly wants. That's the one that can catch all of us any moment. The Bible talks about sitting in the seat of the scornful. You know what scorn is? That's causing someone almost to lose their temper. You remember Jesus on a couple of occasions, the Bible said, remember when he went to heal the little girl who had died, Jairus' daughter? And he went to heal Jairus' daughter. And when he went in there where she was, the Bible said that the crowd that was there mourning her laughed Jesus to scorn. He did not lose his temper. He did. Now, did Jesus ever get angry? Oh, yes. The Bible said to be angry and sin not. There's a way to be. I think a term I heard was righteous indignation. But be careful, you don't equate righteous indignation with being mad. Anger is usually done with some benefit. Mad, being mad is just being mad. So when somebody has lost their mind, or a dog's got, like they used to call it in the country, hydrophobia, which is rabies, and they'd say, watch out for that mad dog. They didn't say, watch out for that angry dog. Watch out for that mad dog. Or, man, that person, man, they must be mad. They must be angry. Be mad. And so they're equating something they've done with literally losing their mind. The Bible says that we have to avoid the seat of the scornful. Hey, do not, you've heard this said before, it doesn't matter who it is or how close they are to you, do not let someone use your ears as a garbage can. So you listen to that gossip and all that mess. Listen, don't do it. Turn it off. Here's what people say. Well, I'll get the information, and then when they're done, then I'll decide if it's any good or not. If they won't spend time talking about somebody else, it's probably not going to be good. Best thing you can do is shut it off right from the start. Because you'll find yourself sitting in the seat of the scornful. Man, I didn't know that. Boy, it's going to be hard to worship with them. And aren't we living in a time where accusation now is more important than proof? I mean, and then when you prove it, then they want to give a reason or something. They want to justify why they were wrong anyway. That's the age we're living in right now. And when somebody does something, I'm talking about bald-faced lying. And everybody come to their aid and say, well, you know, they were misunderstood. No, you lied. But hey, you be careful when you listen to somebody making accusations. You say, well, I'll listen to the story and find if there's any proof. 9 times out of 10, you won't go that far. 9 times out of 10, you're going to make your decision based on information, whether or not the person's guilty or not. Then when you find out they're not, your fellowship seems to be a little bit different than it used to be. Hey, be careful. Be careful. The product of God's blessing is the pleasure. If you don't do these things, God will be pleased with you. By the way, that's when He blesses us, when He's pleased with us. You know, God doesn't bless us when He's mad, when He's angry with us. I said mad, angry. God doesn't bless us when when our fellowship's broken. Now, He'll bless us when we want to get right, and we can get back in. But until then, God, listen, in fact, several times God told Israel, I will withhold my blessing. I'm telling you, God wants to bless, wants to make your life as pleasant as it can possibly be in this sin nature. When you disobey, when you walk away, when you find yourself, even if it doesn't seem to be to a great degree, but you find yourself walking in the way of sinners or sitting in the seat of the scorn, I'm telling you, God will withhold blessing. So the product, number one, of God's blessing is the pleasure of the blessed man. And isn't it good when God's being good to you? Isn't it just pleasant when God's good to you? Here it is. Well, then notice in verse number 2, not only is the pleasure of the blessed man a product of God's blessing, but number 2, notice the passion of the blessed man. The Bible said in verse 2, but his delight. And the things of God ought to be so important to all of us until we're excited to take part in it. And you ought to be excited to read the Bible. You know there are places in the world where you can't. Right. You ought to be grateful that you've got an education where you can read. I know people. I know people in my family who cannot read. America. Why, this is the greatest land other than Israel God ever produced. But there's people that are starving. There's people that are poor. There are people who are illiterate. There are people who are uneducated. I'm telling you, folks, just because we're in a land of plenty doesn't mean that everybody's enjoying it. And it's the same way spiritually. There are people who their passions are not directed toward God. There are people who claim to be Christians. In fact, there are some who claim to be who are not. And the Bible's plain about that when they stand at the great white throne and say, Lord, Lord, look at all the wonderful things we did. They're going to try to convince God that they were passionate. Remember what they said? Look at all how we prophesied in thy name. How we did many marvelous works. They're going to say, man, doesn't that show our passion? No, it shows their hypocrisy. Their hypocrisy. So our delights. Notice our delight ought to be in God's precepts. That's the word of God. That's the law of God, isn't it? In Psalm 119, the Bible talks about all of those 151 verses, all but 7, have reference to the word of God. Because that's important. We need to have delight in God's precepts. We need to delight in God's person. Notice the Bible said, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, in God's person. And then notice, in His law doth He meditate day and night. That speaks to God's peace. Now, God does not mean, and David is not intimating here, every waking moment of your life you should be reading the Word of God. That doesn't mean every moment or waking moment when you can at least think about it. That's what David said, we'll meditate. That means to think. That means to consider. When you read in the morning, you ought to pray and say, now God, help me to consider that all day long. You'd be surprised what you read, what you may consider to be randomly or part of a reading schedule so you can read your Bible through, however, whatever you want to call that. And then you read something with no thought of it really having any bearing on your life unless you're paying attention while you live that day and all of a sudden something happens. You say to yourself, I read that this morning. I just read that yesterday. In other words, it's good to think about the Word of God. Every chance. You know what? That's a product of God's blessing. The more God blesses you, the more you want to think about the Lord. Or it should be that way. Then notice verse number 3. Not only is the pleasure of the blessed man a product of God's blessing and the passion of the blessed man, but notice in verse 3, the power of the blessed man is a product. The power of God is a product of God's blessing. Everybody here ought to be praying every morning, power God in your life. Not just for preachers and evangelists and missionaries and teachers and church officers. That's for the lay people too. Everybody needs the power of God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And who is the gospel for? Everybody. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Not only the power of God that gets people saved, but the power of God in your life that shows what it means to be saved. We've allowed the charismatics and others to steal that power thing, you know, because to them it's more of a visual, sort of a physical manifestation. But listen, you don't have to speak in tongues or do a miracle to have the power of God. But the power of God will keep you from sin. It'll help you to say no to temptation. It'll help you to live right in front of your unsaved co-workers. You ought to pray. In fact, right before I came to church, I read a story. It caught my attention. So I clicked on it, and sure enough, there's a pastor of some charismatic or ecumenical church in South Africa. He's a black pastor. He pastors the Hallelujah Church or something like that. But the caption said, He's under attack for a resurrection. Well, I thought, what? I thought maybe talking about him preaching about the resurrection. I thought he was being persecuted. So let me read about that. So I pulled it up. You know what he did? He called the local funeral home and had the hearse deliver a coffin because they had a man in the church who had died. They were having the funeral. He stood over the man's box, coffin, it opened, and said, rise up and walk. And the man sat up. And it caused a stir because everybody said he resurrected that man. And at the time, everybody believed it, except the guys at the funeral home. So they got to looking into it and found out, of course, it was totally fake. That's sad. Now you talk about, you know what that does? That brings scorn on the name of Jesus Christ. And they found out he did that so he could get bigger donations to church. I'm telling you, folks will do things in the name of God that'll hurt the cause of Christ. And in the name of religion, I'm telling you, and they will pretend to have the power of God. Man, that's the devil. That fellow's of the devil. Amen. I don't care if he's reverend so-and-so. He's of the devil to try to pull something off like that. And the sad thing is, there's a lot of folks that believed it for a while. That's sad. So we need the power of God. Number one, notice it says in verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted. That speaks to being rooted. Well, we need to have a root somewhere. Psalm 16:8, the Bible says, David said, I've set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. You heard about those old oak trees and those storms. They'll bend and they'll bend over. They don't break because they're strong. They're rooted. That's the way we should be. The Bible said we're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Not only are we to be rooted, but it talks about bringing forth fruit. That means we're to be responsive. When you have the power of God, you will have results. You'll bear fruit. Isn't that what Jesus said we ought to do? He said, if you're in me, you're going to bear fruit. Then he said, you know what? You can bear more fruit. He said, wait a minute. I say you can bear much fruit. We limit ourselves to what we can do for God because we limit God's power in our life. If we'll do like the blessed man here, if we'll be like the blessed man here, we can have the power of God
for being rooted, to be responsive, and to be feasible. Look what it says in verse 3. He said, bringeth forth his fruit as his leaf, also so that what not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. All of this prosperity, religion, and preaching, and all that stuff. Listen, the Bible said here, if you do God's will and the power of God, you'll prosper. The word success is only used one time in the entire Bible, and it's Joshua 1:8, and it has to do with the Word of God. The only way you're going to have success in life is by having God's Word as the very pillar of your life. And that's what the Bible talks about here, doesn't it? Blessed is the man who walketh not in the and whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Well, I got two more, and I'll be through. Okay, yeah, we got 10 minutes, so we're good. Notice, not only is the pleasure of the blessed man a product of God's blessing, there's also the passion, power. And notice verse 3, and I thought about Tim when I wrote this down. You see, the permanence of the blessed man. Brother Gurley, I was talking to him the other day. We're talking, he was thanking me again, you know. And I said, Brother Brian, I said, did you learn anything from that little school? He said, I sure did. I said, what is it? He said, practice makes permanent. That's a little Timism, a mascularity, whatever you want to call that. But you know, now it's engraved in our minds. We, you know, if I live to be 150, I'll never be able to forget that. You know, it wouldn't matter if Tim tried to kill me and he's in prison. I'd still remember practice makes permanent. But but guess what? It's actually biblical, Brother Tim. Brother Tim said, thank God. Boy, I'm glad I know something biblical. Notice what it says there in verse 3. His leaf also shall not wither. So that means always be there. It's like an evergreen. I hate pine trees. I hate them with a passion. If I could get away with it and not get fussed at for a long time, I'd cut down every tree in my yard. We have pine trees everywhere. Number one, the only thing I'm allergic to is pine trees. We couldn't buy a house with oak trees. Oh, no. We couldn't buy a tree with, palmetto trees. Heaven forbid. I had to buy a house. The house on one side of me has got oaks. On the other sides, not oaks. That's what I got. Pine trees. No, it's not, amen. It's old me. May not bother you, but it bothers me. I like the fact that, you know, they're not all dead and, you know, scraggly looking. I hate pine cones. I bet I've picked up 100, I'm talking about big trash bags of pine cones, and they're still falling. I hate pine cones. Well, to me, you know, and of course a pine cone when it falls off the tree is for germination, so that's why I pick them up, because, man, I don't want 8,000 pine trees in my yard. I'd be like some folks that just leave them out there, they'll go away. Yeah, they'll go away all right. No, like what happens when your children leave home and get married, they come back and they bring more with them. I said, I don't care about them old pine. When you leave them out there, they'll die. Yeah. And then they'll come back with more. I'm talking about, let's get back to the spiritual aspect of this here message. Permanence. The leaf shall not wither. Listen, if you will walk with God, just follow his commandments. That's what Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you'll do that, the Bible said your leaf shall not wither. What a promise that is. Meaning that you can have, listen, not just a victorious Christian life, but a consistent, victorious Christian life. Because the Bible said, if you'll be blessed of God and see, and have the product of his blessing, your leaf shall not wither. That speaks of forever. That speaks of forgiving. Because if it's there for good, it may bend, but it won't break. If you're there, if you're planted like that tree planted by the rivers of water, sure, if your leaf doesn't wither, that means you're always, you know, a tree that's got leaves on it has got life. The trunk. Find a tree that looks fine. We've got one out here, this big oak tree in front of the house out here. You know, when we first came on this property, it was alive, but it has died. It does not bear leaves anymore, at least not to any degree. And so we're going to have to take it down, because if you wait long enough, the thing's going to fall down. And it may fall on something or someone and could be a problem. So we want to get rid of the dead trees so the live ones can continue to bear fruit, leaves. So it speaks of forgiving, and it speaks of flourishing. A tree that's rooted is not worried about what's going on around it. It doesn't worry. We planted all over $30,000 on all these trees around here. And so we put them in, and of course, when the person who we got them from came to put them in, of course, they're guaranteed for 1 year. If they die, they'll replace them as long as we put in irrigation to water them. So we had to spend another, I mean, this is all stuff we didn't know we were going to have to do, of course. And so then we had to spend another $20,000 to irrigate property. And here's what they said. After the first year, you water them, and we did. In fact, there was a couple times we forgot to turn the water off. We had humongous water bills. But we got it sort of figured out. So we got them where they were rooted. They've already come back a couple of times, so now we know they're okay. But now we got a $20,000 irrigation system we don't even use. Like, I mean, this brother's not pastoring yet. When he does, He won't say praise the Lord to that, I promise you. But he's being encouragement to my soul. Now, if we need it, it's there. But here's the thing. Those trees now, they don't worry about the irrigation anymore. Because they said, you know what? And here's what they told me. They said, if you irrigate those trees every year, here's what they said. They said, then those trees will count on the water from the irrigation pipes that are literally that far under the ground, and the roots will go no farther. And so what you do is you water them until the roots really sort of get going, then you turn the water off, and guess what the roots do? They find water. And so they go down into the ground, and they find water. And that happens, it's hard to even dig the tree up, and it will live. Doesn't that sound what does the Bible say about us? It says we're to be like a tree.
We
are to be like a tree planted. You know, if you treat God's people like babies all the time, that's what you're going to have, a church full of babies, right? Come on now, you know, you don't goo-goo gaga to your 15-year-old, you know, and say, come to mommy. Well, you're not supposed to. I think some people still do. But you don't do that. You want them to grow up. God wants us to grow up. Well, I got to quit. Time to quit. Oh, amen right there, Brother Aaron. Shocked. Overtime. I hear you. What's the product of God's blessing? There's the pleasure of the blessed man, the passion, power, and the permanence. Look at verse 3 again. It's the prosperity of the blessed man. That's a product of God's blessing. Or doing well in life. And I'm talking about financially, socially, emotionally, all the things that are tied up into the human realm. God said, if you'll be like the blessed man, if you'll do it the way he did. What does he say in verse 3? And whatsoever he doeth, I'll stop. James chapter 3, the Bible, or James chapter 1, says that we will prosper as our soul prospers. And so God requires prosperity, not in the bank, but in the spirit, the heart. In the life of the believer, we really want God to produce in our life. We're going to have to give him ourselves. What does that mean? Well, it speaks of a prosperous way. Joshua 1:8, I told you, $1,000 seed offering, somebody on TV is not going to make you prosper. Make him prosper, it's not going to make you prosper. Listen, if you fall for that stuff, you're not as smart as I think you are. You know what that is? That's a religious Ponzi scheme. What that is? People will give their hard-earned money to them, knuckleheads. Then you need them for something and see how quickly they come. That's good preaching right there, even for a Wednesday night. So there's a prosperous way. In Job chapter 8, there's a prosperous home. What happened to Job after all of that happened to him was over and he stayed faithful to God? God gave him twice as much as he had when he started. That's the God who produces blessing. That's the God that will respond to you doing right. Amen? Then lastly, they'll give you a prosperous family. I want you to read this one verse with me, and I'm done. This is it. Look at the book of Zechariah. Zechariah, the Old Testament. You find Malachi, it's the book right before it. That's the next to last book of the Old Testament. But Zechariah, chapter number 8, so it's 972 if you have a Schofield Bible. Read this verse with me, and then we'll close. Notice the Bible said Zechariah chapter 8, verse number 12. Let's look at verse 9. Now, we know that in the context here, this is a prophecy to Israel concerning the future. But always remember, we can never equate the church with Israel, but we can apply Old Testament prophecy to our personal life. That's what it says in verse 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong. Ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, in other words, no jobs, or any hire for beasts, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in. Notice, nothing good was happening. Sounds to me like God had withdrawn his blessing. Notice, because of the affliction. What affliction? Israel turned against God, and God turned against Israel. And the Bible says, for I set all men, everyone, against his neighbor. But now, I will not be under the residue of the people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all. That sounds to me like prosperity. That sounds to me like what we are seeing a measure of in our own country. I know there's no question that Donald Trump needs to be saved. But when God told Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee and curse, he did not qualify that to believers. He said, I will bless them, cosmos, that means anybody. That's the Greek word. I don't even know what the Aramaic word is, but same thing. I will bless anyone who will bless them. And I will curse anyone. Curses. Now you're hearing a resurgence in anti-Semitism. I'm telling you, you better be careful how you even joke about the Jews. I'm telling you. I'm glad I learned that as a young man. I didn't get caught up in all that racism stuff. I'm telling you, my mother told me early on that you better talk good about God's people. And I didn't even know what that meant. She said, I'm talking about the Jews. Now, Jews have to get, listen, Jews are wicked Jews. There's, Jews have to get saved just like Gentiles. So giving them the truth, I'm telling you, and Jews can be very, you ask, if you ever get a chance, Brother Richard Johnson has told me stories about Jews. Now, where he is in Brooklyn, there's a big Jewish neighborhood, a big Jewish place there called Crown Heights. That's where a lot of Jews live, and I'm talking about Hasidic Jews. See them with the black hat and the little curls coming down the... I mean, I'd get rid of that curl, but that's what they do. They have, their hair is totally cut except for that curl that runs down like that. They're called Hasidic Jews. And there's a group from California, from Brother... Coast, yeah. Paul Chappell's school. They go out there every summer. They were there when Joaquin and myself and Steve were there putting the floor down. They were there and had been there for several weeks, and we're going to be there for a few weeks more. And their entire time in Brooklyn was to try to win Jews. And those fellas told, I mean, they told us stories about going and knocking on a door, and those Jewish people would attack them physically. One guy had stuff in a backpack. They were just giving out material, you know, just like we would give out tracts. And said this man came out on the porch, almost choked the feller to death, grabbed his book bag, opened it, and just slung all that stuff all over the street. Crown Heights. Now, those are God's people. Guess what? They're not God's people. The Jew as a nation are still God's people. Now, he's removed his hand from them nationally as far as he doesn't deal with them like he did in the Old Testament. Got to get saved to go to heaven. If you read the prophecy concerning the last days, they're coming back. Now, they're going to come back the right way. The way they should, the way God intended them for to be, if they had just followed Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob from the beginning. But the point is that God said, I will tell you, we are where we are right now because Donald Trump has been good to Israel. It thrilled my soul when they made Jerusalem, but he said, that's the capital because it is the capital. I'm telling you. Now, the sad thing is, if he gets reelected after four more years, that may change again. And if it ever does, if we turn our back on Israel down the road, God's going to turn his back on America and mark it down. That's why the Bible said pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we ought to. We ought to. Because if we're going to prosper, we're going to have what God wants. We want the product of God's blessing. That is a conditional promise. If you and I. That's a conditional promise. If you do this, and I will do that. If you don't do it, then I won't do it. You know what I mean? And so that's why the Bible said, blessed is the man who walketh not. And then gives all that scripture. Okay? Let's pray for God's production in our life. I want to produce. Yeah. Tickles me when I go to the grocery store, go to the produce section, and hear those spray guns come on. I almost want to get in there and play in it. I'm afraid I'll lose my testimony. I know. When I was a little boy, if they had stuff like that, oh God, we'd been in the paper every week, women in those vegetables. Anyway, the point is you know what they're doing? They are protecting their product. Because if they don't, it will rot. And it won't be any good to sell. Well, think about it, folks. We are the product of the cross. We are the product. And we've got a product to give away. That's the gospel. If we're not possessing it, not living with it and for it, then how are we, what we're doing, we're not living. If you're not walking, you're talking, we're giving away rotten. Because people are not, listen, if it's green, brown, I don't buy it. Right? They'll dig through the top to get to the bottom. I do that now. When I buy stuff, I go to the back of the shelf. That's just a plain fact. They put the older stuff up front. I just said that. So at my grocery store, they're going to say, when that preacher comes back in, we're going to move all the bad stuff to the back, and we'll show him. That may happen. I don't know. Let's be a product of God's blessing. Father, we love you tonight, and thank you. The Word of God, thank you for these folks being faithful on a Wednesday night. Dark, it's late. I know some of them maybe haven't even gotten to go home and eat supper yet. I don't know, but I appreciate their faith. I appreciate them bringing their children. I know it's school's still going on, and they have a schedule to keep, but I have never seen a family with children that were faithful to God, not only just to church, but all things God, for their children did not grow up and prosper and be what they should be, myself included. And I'm grateful that my parents, when they did get saved, they did not worry about homework and schoolwork, and they took us to church, and then we'd go home, sleep best we could, get up the next day and go to school. That's a memory I'll always have. My parents didn't send me to church. They took me to church. I'm grateful for that. Help us, Lord, not only to get product of God's blessing, but be the product.
God's blessing. We love you in Jesus' name.